Blog Talk Radio.
Everything's going great, you know, feeling fresh, feeling strong, man.
Right on, right on. You drinking anything?
I love it.
What you got going on for drinks?
I'm kind of going cheap tonight. I got the old Bud Light, the old standby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some, I'm drinking some Founders,
really.
Some Dirty Bastards. That shit is
really
tasty, man. It is good.
It's a
Scotch-style ale. Man, that shit is tasty.
Yeah, I've heard of it before. I've never had it. Surprisingly, I've never had it. I've had most beers.
I had another one of those Midwestern Pale Ales from Bell's right before that. This is my second beer I'm on here. And that was still good, man. That's what turned it into one of my summer favorites. I mean, it was a nice fucking killer hot, warm day today. First one in forever.
Yeah.
And, man, I was drinking one of those pale Midwestern Pale Ales, and it was tasty. It was good.
Yeah, when it gets hot, I suggest
my advice
doing
to you, start drinking heavily.
Yeah. when we get these hot days like this, it was like low 80s here today on this side of the state, kind of humid, you know. I woke up this morning, I was going out doing a few things, I started sweating my ass off early.
Yeah, I'm not used to that shit, dude. I mean, we had a fucking brutal winter, so this is some nice fun. I'll take it. I'm not going to complain
about
the heat.
Oh, I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, I'm just not physically. It gets to 82 with like 80% humidity, and I'll just sweat like a, you know, like a squeeze sponge, you know.
Oh, man, that'd
don't
be
take
sweet
you
to
long.
See.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, wife loves it. I just never lick me dry.
Oh man.
They soak it up, baby. Soak it up, baby.
Down a beer. 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
That never gets old to me, dude. Those are the standbys. The old heavily drinking ones.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. So what's been going on with you, dude?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I've just finished up another couple pieces of art and put them up for sale. I'm making a triptych. You know, I'm making a three-piece set mosaic that kind of goes together in its theme, you know. And I got a show coming up at the local fairgrounds here, the county fairgrounds in June, and so I'm you know busy busting out a bunch of shit, making some fused glass dinnerware and shit, plates and all kinds of crazy shit like that, and some mosaic pieces, whatever else. I'm trying to bust some stuff out to sell for the June show. So
well, that's
doing
cool.
That later.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I know. I see. You know, I always see a lot of your stuff you make online on your Facebook site, and that's pretty cool shit. I know my Morticia, my better half, her mom's really into stained glass. She does a lot of big stained glass pieces and stuff. And
does she?
I know. Yeah, she puts a lot of time into that. She did some. She's done some really cool stuff like that. And
nice.
I know. It's real. Takes a lot of time and patience and all that to do that stuff. It's a lot of talent goes into that.
Yeah. I don't do too. I mean, I do stained glass, but I just. In terms of a mosaic, I don't do the solder work or anything like that yet.
Right.
I've done a little bit of it, but most of my stuff is, stained glass cut and then placed into mosaic pieces. But, it's cool to work with, man. You get it. That's a pretty sweet material to work with. And believe it or not, there's a lot of uses to it, man. You can, as long as you learn how to use it, man, you can do all kinds of different shit with it. So, what have you been up to, man?
Same old thing. We're still on the search for our replacement for Bub that, passed away 3 weeks ago now. And we got a couple leads on a different rescue dog. It was an American Bulldog. He's been living on the streets for a while. He didn't have a collar or chain. It was a friend of a friend found him on 96th and the highway, and he's all beat up. He's got a lot of sores on him. He's basically starved to death. And he's in the vet right now getting taken care of, but I think we're going to end up adopting him. He's real cool looking, and he needs some TLC, and he doesn't look like he has any, he doesn't have like the mange, he doesn't have heartworm or anything, so they're just trying to, check out a couple other things, and if he comes out okay, we'll probably get him here in a day or two. He doesn't have a name or nothing, so it'd just be another rescue, so we'll pair him up with the female we have now, and so she has somebody to hang out with. So
got a bud. That's cool. Yeah, dogs always seem to go better in twos, man. They're pack animals, or more.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Cool,
and
man.
So we're trying to do that. And just the same old shit, dude. Just doing a lot of writing for bands I'm in and stuff, and just all that kind of stuff, and scouring the. Online for stories and just trying to keep track of what's going on. It's weird. It seemed like kind of a slow week for me. I've seen a lot. It seemed like that cop block site on Facebook had a lot of things this week. I noticed. There's so many
every day, man. I mean, they've got more material
than
they can put down on the fucking site.
Oh, I know.
I mean, every day they've got 5-6 different stories of some heinous-ass thing going down with the cops somewhere in the country. Some of it's just terrible shit, man. And one recently about that lady, she got her eyes blown out with pepper spray, completely decimated, shredded with pepper spray,
and she's
completely blind now. And they just had a mistrial over that. They couldn't decide if the cop was acted illegally or not. What the fuck, man?
I know.
They got license to kill nowadays, man. They're so radical. I saw a picture maybe on a cop block. It showed the American gangs had the Bloods, the Crips, and I forgot what they called the cops, but they were in their full riot gear standing there, the pose,
Right. Did you see the one, the guy trying to get out of the house and in Spokane, Washington, he came out with his hands up, and they just unloaded on him. And all the people are standing there filming it, watching it. They're all screaming. They're all like, "What the fuck are you doing? He's coming out. His hands are up." And they just unloaded on him, man. They started riddling him with bullets.
What really seems to be popular with the cops nowadays is killing people's dogs or puppies or whatever. I mean, almost once a day, man. I mean, any dog that gets anywhere near a cop now, they're using it as target practice and killing the fucking dog.
Right.
No matter the age or whatever. I mean, but on top of it, every bit of these stories coming in is this, they're pulling guns on people, they're shooting people for no reason, they're beating the fuck out of them for no reason. You know?
Right.
It's crazy. And a lot of it's getting on video now. I almost think, dude, that that fucking Google Glass, that dumbass head glass, the glasses you wear on your face that you can see the internet off of and shit and records video,
right.
I almost think those should be mandatory for cops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that way they go everywhere. They fucking, everything they do is recorded. And then there's no dispute about, you know, they turn that fucker on as soon as they punch in. And it records every single thing that goes on, and they shut it off at the end of their shift, man. And you know, and then I'm willing to bet you'll see a lot of that shit go down, the incidences go down. Well, there's so many cameras out nowadays, you know. I mean, they can't help but be, you know, videoed from somewhere. Just people, living in their apartment, man, they're looking out the window fucking videotaping them now, you know. Where you couldn't do that 10 years ago.
If they had to wear those, I don't think anybody would want to be a cop, because then there would be no free money, no robbing drug houses, no anything. If you had to account for every minute of your time, and you're being watched at all times, and if you shut the glasses off or take them off, and
no
then they discipline you for not having them on or having unaccounted time, you know, then nobody would want to do it, because you know half the damn people are in it for whatever they can do or get, or you know how they can just treat people like shit or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, it ain't all cops, but there's so many that are.
Saying that, but this is the problem with it. Even the good cops, man. To me, it seems
the police
forces are just fucking riddled with corruption. It's not like a certain area. It's not just the South or the East Coast or L.A. or whatever. I mean, it's fucking Idaho. It's Wisconsin. It's fucking, you know,
Spokane.
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
Right.
And if it's so fucking expansive across our entire police state, which basically is what it is at this point, then even the good guys are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they're letting it happen. I mean, it's so pervasive in our in our police forces across the whole country, which you can see it is just by that one site, dude, the cop block site. They're even the good cops, man, they've got to be doing something about it. In this, the whole what's going down with the corruption and the abuse and the just straight out executing people nowadays by the police forces. It's pissing a lot of people off, man. I mean, just your regular Joes that wouldn't otherwise even give a shit about politics or anything, you know. And now, like, there's a lot of those people that are being pissed off because of how heavy-handed the cops are, man.
Right. How safe do you think it is exposing all this? I mean, would you want to be an admin on that cop op block site right now? I mean, if they can find out who you are, I mean, I'd be a little. I'd be looking over my shoulder a little bit if I was an admin on that page. I don't know. I don't put it past murder, you know, for police. I mean, I could totally see them trying to knock them guys.
It depends, man. I mean, if they're really pushing a certain instance or something happening, and you know those people take it the wrong way, those people being the ones accused of what, you know, you never know. But I hope that doesn't happen, man. Last week when the first time I think we talked about that site, I liked it, and I think it had right around a 500,000 likes to it. This week it has 550,000. It went up 50,000 in a week. So something's going on with it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people are being turned on to it and starting to realize the crazy shit that's going on with our police forces.
It was all the listeners from the Blisterfish show are the ones that liked it, you know.
Oh, dry, dry.
the thousands and legions of Blisterfish followers.
That's
to go like that site, went there and liked it last week.
I
will brag. I won't give specific numbers, but I will brag that we have doubled recently in our listenership. So,
People are
starting to starting to flock to us in droves of tens.
we're gonna be beating them back with sticks, dude.
Yeah,
they're gonna be like rock stars.
Rush Limbaugh is sweating right now. I can see it. He's like, oh no, not another liberal. talk show that sometimes poses as a conservative.
Yeah.
I often think about if somebody was to listen to us, at certain times in the show, conservatives would probably listen to us and agree with us. Liberals would probably listen to us and agree with us. You know, there's a lot of different. We're not. You know, it's hard to pigeonhole what we're really coming from. You know, I don't really. I mean, we're not really. You know, we're kind of libertarian a little bit, I guess. But I wouldn't consider myself a pure libertarian, other than I like liberty. You know.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, there's almost always more than a right and left to any issue, or a right and wrong, or this is, you know, black and white. And that's where politics has gotten. And we're just not affiliated with either the right or the left. I think we have, both of us have even different qualities of each. Sometimes we don't agree with everything, you're right. I think it's sometimes it probably confounds people. I mean, they get on here thinking that they're listening to godless atheists, and we're going off about the necessity of the Second Amendment, or things like that. You know,
A lot of atheists. So I was going to talk about that too. A lot of atheists, you know, they're not for the Second Amendment. They think you're an idiot, you're a moron if you think that vaccinations are bad. If you think 9/11, there was something fishy about 9/11, they say you're an idiot, you're a truther, you're a moron, I'm total atheist. I do not believe in religion. I think it's the biggest conspiracy of all time. But I also, I believe some of the things, probably right-wing, gun-toting Republican, rednecks believe, I don't trust the government totally, and really not a lot, and I believe in a lot of conspiracies and stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that one video, that 10-minute video I put up there about it was just a group of architects talking about 9/11, and they gave a peer-reviewed experiments and tests and information, peer-back review of the whole 9/11, and they said there's no way that those steel structures can collapse from fire. It's just impossible. These guys are all top, architects and stuff. Some of these guys are from universities and whatever, and they're just like, it's ridiculous if you can't see that it was demolitioned. Then they have interviews.
That's how that movie, Zero, an Investigation in 9/11, that's how it starts out with. He's a Nobel Prize winner. I believe he's in either chemistry or architecture or something, and he says the same thing. He's from Europe somewhere, and he said there's no fucking way that could have happened the way they said it did. That's the very first scene in that movie, is having a Nobel Prize laureate, and I believe in either chemistry or something, metallurgy,
I don't know, but
there's
a Nobel Prize
fucking
for metallurgy.
Way it could happen. I suppose, dude, if we keep talking about, I suppose I need to start going back and reviewing some of that shit.
Right.
I was so up on all that, and it's been so many years. This is the thing with me with 9/11 is I know it didn't happen the way they say it is, but at some point I just couldn't keep holding on to it, on to the being pissed off about it,
I got me back into it.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got burnout on it. I didn't want to talk about it no more. But what got me back into it was on some of these atheist sites, when anybody would bring up any kind of conspiracy or anything, they would just mock you, and just make fun of you. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, metallurgy was my business. That's what I was in for 15 years. I understand how steel melts and at what temperatures, and I know jet fuel burns at 800 to 900 degrees, and I know that it's physically impossible for a fire caused by a plane crash to incinerate those, concrete and steel pillars, and incinerate them to where the building's going to collapse at the rate of gravity. It's impossible. It's fucking impossible. So I don't have to come up, and then they'll say, well, what? They want you to tie all the loose ends together and come up with every reason and how thousands, all these different people
everything.
Would be bought off, and how what happened to the passengers on the plane and this and that.
Right.
I don't have
all
to
you
figure
can,
out
all
everything.
You can explain is the shit
all
that
I
doesn't
can,
make sense. You know, all you can get
yeah,
at,
I,
this is so huge, all you can get at is the bits and pieces that are absolutely are bullshit, and you know it right out of either from plain sight or from common sense. You know?
I know from my own knowledge that the science of it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't make
right.
sense, and it's not true, and it's not realistic.
Especially
so
building
that's the
7,
government's explanation.
Falling at the rate of gravity, no plane hit it, they're saying from fire.
Yeah.
All of those, three
of the
buildings that came, the 7, the 1 and 2 and 7, came down, fell down at the speed of gravity. You know, you get like standing
right.
at the top and dropping a cue ball off the top of the building that fell as fast as that. You know, and never in the history of mankind has a steel frame building fallen from fire. And there's several instances, man. There's like buildings in China that have burned for like 2 days almost. There's one in Spain, I believe,
right.
that was like 48 stories that burned for almost 2 days. And they never collapsed. I mean, the inside was gutted, but they were still standing.
Right.
You know? So I don't know.
And,
you know, the thing that they call, a lot of atheists call themselves critical thinkers or
skeptical thinkers.
But man, they buy the government line, hook, line, and sinker, dude. Anything
right.
the government tells them is the truth, they believe it for some reason. And they lose
right.
their skeptical thinking. Their critical thinking goes out the fucking window if the government says it's true. I don't
right.
get it.
You know, there's a video, I'm watching it. They got scientists and that have checked dust samples from buildings across from the buildings and people's apartments where their windows blew in, and they took the dust that came out of those buildings, and they find thermite all over
right.
them. And thermite will right, it'll melt them. Steel girders,
yeah.
that's what they use. It melts them. It turns them into a liquid metal. So, I mean, you know, the explosive, they could have put it in the paint or whatever. And
yeah.
and they've proven it, you know. But what it is it's too hard. People just can't. They can't come to grips with that the government can be that corrupt and evil that, you know,
right.
kill its own
right.
citizens.
It's
and it's
just
not
too
even
much.
The government. When I think of the government, I can't sit here and say the president knew or Dick Cheney knew. Who knows what level it went up to? Who knows what covert fucking underground?
Cheney knew. I think he was a big part of it.
I don't. Yeah, I have
I'll tell
no
you why. Here's,
idea.
Here's the reasons for Cheney. One, he was the first civilian in the history of the country to head up NORAD while
right.
9/11 went down. And he did
right.
so under his own command, sending a letter to Rumsfeld saying so much about 6 months before 9/11, saying, I'm taking over
right.
control of NORAD.
Right.
So at a minimum, if he wasn't complicit in it, he was a criminal for not taking command and reacting the way you were supposed to under law when you're under attack through airborne vehicles, you know, which
right.
is scrambling jets and, you know, I mean, nothing was answered. We had four jets that went,
right.
you know, slow-moving passenger jets, and we couldn't take down one of them?
No.
Fuck that shit, dude. That one,
yeah.
the Pentagon one, was in the air, I think, almost 90 minutes, if not more. An hour and a half.
Right.
We can't take
right.
that fucker down when there's, you know, jets could scramble off the eastern seaboard and be there in 10, 15 minutes.
I think it's
I don't know, man. How did we get into 9/11 right off the bat?
I know. It flew. I think the motherfucker flew right over a tactical fire wing. The fucker, and it could have had somebody up there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
yeah,
ridiculous.
I mean, they
could have
took it down. And the way they said the jet flew into the Pentagon, it did a 270. It came in off the left side, which, let's say you're looking at it directly. It
yeah.
came in around the left side, circled all the way around the Pentagon,
right.
and almost like an absolute expert would not have been able to fly that craft the way.
And then it hit in all the offices.
Amateurs,
like some information that they lost in all those offices or something that was hit. I can't remember what the link was on that too. Where it hit in the Pentagon, there was something about that too.
Oh, they were investigating corruption and graft from military contractors. I believe
right.
that division was where they got hit.
Right,
and
if you look at the video too,
this is the fishiest fucking thing of all. On hindsight,
right.
on 2020, of course, you know, hindsight's always 2020,
yeah.
so you can even see it a little bit clearer. The day before 9/11, Rumsfeld goes on, I believe it was CBS, and does this extensive interview on CBS and says, oh, by the way, the Pentagon just lost $1 trillion, with a T, on September 10th of 01. So the next day, of course, who the fuck cares about that, right?
Right.
The very next day, that no one gives a fuck. It's never even mentioned again. And I'm a strong believer, and there are no coincidences, dude, that things don't just, whoops, that just kind of happened the way it did, and that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way. And that's a perfect example of foresight of something big that was going to happen. So he came out right before and said, oh, by the way, $1 trillion gone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. A trillion, dude, with a T.
Yeah. Not a
massive
billion.
Amount of money.
A trillion.
Which you never heard from again, man. Where's that word? Has anybody gone back and looked for that money? No.
Right.
No one. So,
that's,
I mean, it's so fucked up. So fucked up.
Right.
And, you know, I'm willing to bet that money was just graft. You know, it went into, they knew what was coming up, and so they had to grease some palms in the fucking Middle East to make it happen and gain some cooperation.
What is it, man?
You know?
Right.
But fucking again, who knows? That's conjecture, the end piece of it. But certainly that the Rumsfeld interview is still on, it's on YouTube, you know. And he's straight out. Oh yeah, we lost $1 trillion. He says it without even fucking blinking and not batting an eye, dude.
But yeah, Obama's the big wasteful
right.
president.
Right. But, you know, you're right. I want to get back. You know, the thing that does get at me about how all these atheists just fucking, you know, eat up whatever the government tells them is happening. I don't understand it. You know, Noam Chomsky, he was talking. He got asked about Hitchens and, I believe, Dawkins. And, you know, they are proponents of military intervention and stopping some of the things that are happening because of religion. And Noam Chomsky nailed him. This kind of goes back to maybe what we're talking about with atheism, is he said, well, you know what? Their religion, they may not believe in God, but their religion is the state. They believe that the state answers all of the problems of religion and you know, other things in the world. And their religion is actually not a god, but the state. And I think a lot of atheists fall under that realm, man. They don't believe, you know, everybody that worships to a leprechaun in the sky is a total idiot. But anything that the government tells you, you know, these fucking, you know, that's got to be true.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yep.
Fuck,
yeah, it's, I don't believe that
danger,
at all.
Danger.
Yeah, Chomsky is one. I like that dude, man. He's a genius. He's a linguistics expert at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He's just fucking incredible in so many different areas and arenas. And you know the dude is doing some right things when not only the right but the left wing hate him, and so does the media. The media hates Chomsky.
7 years
really,
of college
down
the drain.
So he's got to be doing something right, dude. He's on it with a lot of the stuff, especially, you know, state-sponsored. He doesn't go as far as saying state-sponsored terrorism, but he has certainly seen the repressive nature of government through the ages, you know.
Right.
Interesting dude, man.
Right. Yeah, I've read a couple of his quotes on memes. I don't think I've read anything more than, you know, just quotes from him, but
yeah.
Well,
you know, the thing too
is
his speeches, he's very soft spoken. So it's kind of hard to watch his speech, but what he has to say is so like combustible and so revolutionary.
Right.
It comes from his little dude that's soft spoken in his goofy sweaters and shit. But what he's saying shit like Malcolm X, dude. He's saying things like what Malcolm X would say and Martin Luther King and fucking and you know, even the founding fathers and shit about freedom and you know, repression by the state, which then was England, you know, but now is right. our government. I mean, it, you know, he's totally radical. And that's why
right.
he's not on TV. But on top of it, when you hear him speak or see him, he's pretty, you know, he's hard to watch because but what he is saying is unbelievable. I mean, it's like it's Malcolm X up there saying, man, we, you know, if they won't give it to us, we take it back. You know, that's
right.
what fucking Chomsky's saying, man. So
mm-hmm.
it's he's a pretty amazing dude. I, you know, he's up there too, man. All these guys that have advanced, you know, the rights movement of the working class and the common man, like Howard Zinn kicked it, man. He wrote People's History of the United States, and that was all about, you know, the slavery and the repression by corporations over the working class and everything, and that was a fucking eye-opener. The one thing that I really remember from that is he was talking about Christopher Columbus coming in to the New World, and the very first passage he puts in his log when he sees the Indians, he puts in how they would make good slaves. He goes, it appears
right.
that these people would make good slaves. The first thing he writes down when he sees them.
All right.
You know.
Little did he know, General Custer would beg to differ.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's crazy shit. I didn't want to – well, I actually should have probably did this in the intro because we've had – this is probably the longest intro in Blisterfish history yet. We can kind of still, like, feel an intro phase. Just a couple things real quick, jump subjects. Couple things I thought were cool, unrelated to what we've just been talking about is I don't know how much you're into the fight game, but there was a Marquez and Alvarado fight, championship welterweight fight on Saturday night on HBO, and I just had it on as background noise. I was kind of watching. I used to be a big fan of the fight game for a long time. We talk about a lot of different stuff here on the show. You know, we talk sports, music, we'll talk anything. So, you know, it's not just religion and politics. I mean, we'll go into anything. But I just wanted to mention this, and I don't know, anybody else can call in if they want, 646-595-4686 if you want to comment. But watching the Marquez and Alvarado fight, it's a welterweight championship fight. The first four or five rounds were kind of slow, but in the ninth round, it was one of those just most incredible rounds. Both guys got knocked down. They were just throwing bombs the whole round, and the rest of the fight was incredible. And Marquez won on a decision, unanimous decision, but the fight ended up being really great. And it reminded me of the days back in the 80s, like the Tommy Hearns versus Marvin Hagler, the three-rounder,
yeah.
you know, or the great fights of the 80s. It was like one of those. And just wondering, throwing that out there, if anybody's seen that, or if, you know, I'll put that on the tag for the show later on. But that was really cool. And it was like one of the last times, few times in recent memory where I actually stood up and yelled during a fight and was like, wow, and I was into it. You know, I got excited. And then the other thing we watched this weekend was it was a documentary on Ginger Baker, the old drummer for Cream and Blind Faith, played with Eric Clapton a lot, and it was really an awesome documentary about how wild and crazy he was. And when you watch the documentary and he comparing him to the other great rock drummers of his era, you really realize that guy was like better than all them guys, all the Keith Moons and Bonhams. He was better than all them guys because he was so intricate. He was like a great jazzy. Yeah, he battled all the great jazz drummers of the 60s. He did drum offs with them, and he did all. He went over to Africa for years and played with all the African great drummers over there, and he had his African band and everything. It was just a wild documentary. It was called Beware, Mr. Baker. So if you ever, I was thinking about you when I was watching it. It's related to your name, but I was just like. Thought it was a really cool documentary. If you ever get a chance to see that, Beware Mr. Baker, that was really excellent. A lot of partying. He was a real maniac. He had some of the craziest eyes. He had that crazy long curly red hair, and he just had those insane friggin' eyes, and he was just nutty looking. I mean, just, and he's just really at the end of it, you know. Well, I believe he's still alive. This was like 2 years ago, I think, was the documentary. But he was real crazy, and he was yelling at the guy filming him, and there's this one scene where he takes his cane and he just smashes him in the face with it and blows his nose open. The guy doing the documentary, I mean, he's just absolutely out of his gourd. It's really funny, but he's real crazy. But it's a really good documentary. If you like documentaries about music and old bands and stuff, you'd probably like it. Anybody would like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, for
so,
sure. I watch a lot of those. You know, I don't know if he's still alive, but he lived out in Denver when I was out there out in Colorado, and he
right.
would call into the local you know, classic rock station. They had this morning crew that was hugely popular out there, Lewis and Floorwax, and they're still going too. But he'd call in almost every Friday, and they would shoot the shit
really?
For like an hour or so, you know, during the show, and he'd sit in while they play songs and stuff. And so he seems like a cool dude. He's interesting, you know.
He's definitely
one of the great drummers, man. He was so solid and you know
yeah.
played so well.
Well, he was also in the 90s. He played in that Masters of Reality, which is a really cool band. And that's a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours. You know who I'm talking about. He's really into that band. You know, kind of like the Jane's Addiction era. That little bit style music, but kind of that kind of like grunge rock. But they were really, really cool band. And I guess he suffers from that rheumatoid arthritis. Really,
who
was
that?
Now,
was that that Masters of Reality?
Masters of Reality. Yeah, he was in that. Ginger Baker was.
Is that who he was? Was he in that band?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I had a CD or two of theirs when they first. They kind of
Domino.
Sound like Southern Swamp type. I don't know, man. They're hard
to
explain.
They're kind of Doors-ish a little bit. But I mean, like they're kind of like, I guess they would be in the grunge era. They're kind of grungy, but they're real Candy. Was the Candy song? You know.
Yeah, yeah. That's Masters of Reality.
What's the line? Sugar girl, want a piece of that stuff? Get me down on my knees.
So he was
dynamite.
In that band, huh? I didn't realize that.
What's that? Yeah,
he was
yeah.
in that band, huh?
Yeah, some guys
that.
Were really wild, kind of different band. I always liked them. I don't know how many. I don't think he was on their last few albums, but he was on like their first couple albums in the early 90s. But yeah, he was wild dude. It's very interesting story. I always liked them documentaries like the Searching for Sugar Man, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the those kind of documentaries, just about seeing like a lot of those old bands, punk rock bands, this and that, from way back in the 80s or whatever, 70s, and see where they're at now. And kind of like a lot of times there's sad stories too. One of them, another one was the guy, did you ever see the, I can't remember what it was called, but it was the singer from Pentagram, that old 70s, they were kind of a Sabbath-y, early 70s kind of doom metal band. And they were supposed to, they're called Pentagram. Kiss was trying to sign them. They were supposed to be really huge. They were going to be like the next Black Sabbath. And they were really, really good. They put out quite a few albums through the 70s, but the singer was so... I'll have to find the name of the documentary, but the singer was so messed up, he just ruined everything just from drugs and stuff. And he ended up the story, you think there's no way the story could end good. And it ends up at the end, he gets the girl, he gets cleaned up, and he's like, you know, pushing 60, but he's in his late 50s, but he gets his health back somewhat. He goes on tour and has a really good album, and, you know, he's packing small theaters and big clubs everywhere around the country and playing out live again. So it was kind of a cool ending. But yeah,
that's cool.
I can't remember the name of it. But now I'm looking on some stuff I have here. And one thing I wanted to get in with you is I was reading about Monsanto again, about the just the Roundup chemicals. And I know we've talked about this in the past, about how it's affecting everything. And there's a lot of scientists are contributing a rise in different kinds of diseases to using this Roundup chemical on everything. And then I had seen a story that you had posted about how the honeybees are still dying at an alarming rate and everything. And just wondering what you think about that and if you've seen anything on that lately or
they've got to be. I mean, it's got to be something massive that's killing them off, you know, something that spread quite a ways, and that, you know, of course, is being used in millions of gallons all across the U.S. on farmland everywhere, you know. And
right.
So they're finding links. There's studies that have already linked the two together, the Roundup and the mass die-off of bees. But, you know, of course, Monsanto's putting tons of money into trying to, you know, dispute it with their own studies, their own, of course,
so
independent studies. You know.
That article does say they're relating the bees dying off to the Roundup from Monsanto.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
okay.
know,
I didn't read it.
Yeah, not all of them do, for sure. A lot of them are, we don't know what's happening, you know, we just can't figure it out.
Right.
And it's pretty fucking complex, that's for sure. But, man, you know, it's a big problem, and I still haven't seen a fucking honeybee around here yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got flowers, and some of our flowers are kind of kicking it. I think it was probably because of the cold weather, too, but,
yeah.
You know, I still have yet to see a honeybee. I've seen some bumblebees around. And usually they're all over the fucking place, you know. They're trying to get into our house and shit and make hives in our house and, you know.
Here's the reason I brought it up, Dennis. All our annual flowers are all dying. I have not seen one freaking bee around here. None. The only thing we've seen, and it's we've had some warm weather here, and the only thing I've seen is one bumblebee. That's all we've seen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen nothing on our flowers, and all the flowers are dying. You know, so I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I mean, I could be crazy. I know for sure that there's – I haven't seen a damn honeybee yet. I know for sure. And I know for sure that I'm not seeing as many bees as there were previously, even wasps and shit, you know. Maybe
right.
it's the weather, maybe because of the cold held on for so long, you know, up here. But
yeah.
I'm even thinking, man, like birds and shit. I live, of course, as we've talked before, I live way the fuck out in farmland, out, man. And you know, there's birds fucking everywhere normally. And I'm not seeing as many birds as I previously in the last few years. That's just anecdotal, you know. I'm not out there counting fucking birds or anything. But, it seems like even there's less birds right now. And I don't know if it's because of the cold hung out so long up here, you know, or what, but
there should be birds
there
by
now. Fucked up things going on, dude.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, birds are bad enough to lose, but if we don't have honeybees no more to pollinate everything, then you
hasta la vista, baby.
I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And they're talking about trying to build these little fucking robot honeybees, literally, that are about the size that would actually pollinate, so that if they die, I guess instead of trying to figure out what the fuck's causing this mass die-off of all these honeybees, what they'd rather do is say, oh, well, let's figure out, you know, let's make a machine that replaces it. You know?
Little robot honeybees that also have little spy cameras on them and they look in your windows.
Right.
That go to the NSA computers.
Which also exists, man. They got little cameras that are as big as insects nowadays. In fact, they've had those out for quite a few years. I read something a few years back about that.
Right.
But, you know, that's a whole other thing to gather, man. We should talk about sometimes surveillance shit. I know we dipped into a little bit, but I don't know, man. The weather's been fucking funky and the bees, you know, just there's some shit in nature that ain't ringing right now to me. And I, you know, maybe I'm just fucking loony about it and all, but I don't know, man. It just some things are fucking odd right now going on.
Right.
And there's no explanation for it, you know.
It hasn't just been this year. I've noticed over the last 5 years a big lack of bees. Especially in Michigan, I have not seen both places where we've lived here in Detroit and Dearborn has just been over the last 5 years. Every year it seems like there's less and less bees.
Yep.
And
when
I seen that report on your site, that's what I was thinking about that. And then I read the Monsanto report on that, and so then I kind of linked the two together. But
yeah, that fucking company is evil as a motherfucker. If you're talking about a fascist company that's involved in running a portion of the government and the laws there within, it would be fucking Monsanto, dude. They're trying to patent life forms. Like they develop a new form of corn, and then they want to patent it and not allow, you know, farmers can't resell seeds anymore. They can't. It's fucked up. I mean, they have a massive control over our food system, especially the corporate food system. You know, if you're a corporate farmer, you're a huge Monsanto customer. You know, chemicals, right. seeds, everything, man.
Right.
So, it, you know, and as it goes, man, they're so fucking powerful. And they, you know, they're on, they end up, you know, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has people from Monsanto shuffle in and out on the board fairly frequently.
Right.
So you get people from
right.
Monsanto in there, of course, making the fucking laws for,
well,
for the Food
like
and Drug
that.
Administration.
And everything under these last few administrations, it's been all the – all the banking guys are from, or all the
yeah.
financial people in the government are all from the Wall Street.
Treasury.
And the bank, all the you know. Treasury Department is all Wall Street people.
Yeah.
Bringing the FDA is all
Jamie Dimon,
Monsanto.
Who was responsible for fucking, I think he was either JP, I think it was JP Morgan, which is one of the
right.
biggest losers in the fucking, the whole quote unquote, you know, emergency, financial emergency we had, you know.
Right.
And he's on the fucking, he was on Obama's board. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're running the shit, dude. They're running the fucking, you know, when I hear people bitching about the government, yeah, it's fucked up. The government is fucked up. But it's because the corporations are running the gig. I mean,
right.
they're determining our food supply and laws and our financial system, you know, and these corrupt banking organizations and, I mean, you know, it's on and on. And again, that's the exact definition of fascism, man. When
right.
corporations are running and have control of the government and make laws, you know, for the government and control the media, which they basically do now, too. I mean, there's only, you know, there's less and less media companies. Fucking AT&T is buying DirecTV, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, less and less companies trying to distribute all this fucking information that's, you know, straight from the government that, you know. This is how the news works nowadays. The government tells
right.
the news what's happening. The news reports it. That's
mm-hmm.
it. This is what happened lately, you know,
right.
when the news reports it. There's no more investigative journalism anymore, you know, which is
well,
key to democracy.
That,
it's critical
right.
to democracy. And
right,
that shit's gone, man.
It, right. And speaking to that, another article you have here is them voting for the FCC to have the rules to kill the open internet. Have you
right.
heard anything more about that? Also,
well,
them
it
wanting
passed.
To make you have to pay. Okay, that did pass.
It passed 3-2. And basically what it does is it's granting the bandwidth to people that pay more for it, people being corporations that pay more for
right.
it. So now basically what that does is it limits the amount of access the regular person has to the fucking internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically what that law does. It squeezes out the everyday Joe in favor of these corporations that can fork out a premium price for bandwidth on the internet.
Right.
So that's
so you're
fucked
squeezed
up.
Out.
It and
you're
allows those companies to fucking squeeze other companies and everyday Joe again and provide them only with the amount of bandwidth that they're willing to provide them. So, you know, who knows, man? I mean, it's fucked up. It's basically a two-tiered internet now. And, you know,
right.
of course the fucking everyday Joe gets fucked again. And is in the bottom tier, and it won't. You'll start seeing little by little. It'll start creeping in. But you know what? Nothing's gonna fucking happen about it, dude.
I'm.
What the fuck is it gonna take for people to say this enough is enough? You know, the country,
yeah.
the government's fucked up. The corporations are running it. I don't know what it is, man. I'm wondering because it, you know, you'd think it would be something, but I don't know what that would be. I don't know.
Right. I guess they'll be waiting until the stormtroopers are marching down the street kicking
right.
the doors in. Then everybody will be crying at that point.
Yeah.
Too late
then they'll
point.
Have something to complain about and actually probably try and have to raise their voice about, you know. A little late then,
right.
I guess. But, you know,
yeah.
you saw, you know, and then, you know, oh, we're the crazy ones for saying something like that. But all you got to do is look at the fucking, like the Boston bombing to see that shit,
right.
if that shit ain't true. I mean, they were walking down the middle of fucking stormtroopers right down the middle of the street, 2-3 wide, you know, 10-15 deep, fucking right down,
right.
you know, knocking doors down, evacuating, quote-unquote, evacuating people, whatever else.
It looked like Nazi Germany, dude. I was like, yeah. I remember watching it. I remember watching it. I'm like, if there was a dude in Detroit that went in and shot some kids in a school or whatever, that would not be happening in southeastern Michigan. There would not be roving gangs of friggin' SWAT teams running down each street, you know, basically force going through each, you know, it would be, I mean, the police
knocking
would be
doors,
out there.
Knocking down doors, hauling people out of their own houses, confiscating
guns. I mean, I would imagine the police force would be doing everything to their best ability, but it wouldn't look like Nazi Germany, like circa 1939 or something, or 1940. 50
different government agencies involved.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
To me, it looked less about catching a fucking scared 19-year-old boy that may or may not have done it. Who knows, you know, maybe he did, maybe whatever.
Yeah.
That's not even the point. It was less about catching that fucker than it was about a military exercise to take over
a
fucking urban area in America. And they succeeded, man.
Yep.
Lock, stock, and barrel. And people were cheering them for it. I saw people after it was happening be like, oh, thank God for the police and shit. And, you know, thank God for them kicking down people's fucking doors and hauling them out of their own fucking houses, you know, whatever else
like
was going
police.
On, man. I mean,
it was like the fucking Death Star landing right in, you know.
Hell
off.
Yeah. The doors wide open and Darth comes fucking strolling out, man. Fuck yeah.
Right.
I tell you what, dude, there was a shooting up in Lansing. You know, we get mid-Michigan news and shit. And this guy shot two different people around Lansing. I think it was around graduation time for Michigan State also. So it was somewhat of a big deal. But, you know, one guy, and he was stowed away in a house somewhere, and they just had to talk him out of it. But, man, they showed picture. There was probably 50, 60 cops around the building. They had a tank.
Right.
They had a tank with one of those fucking dishes on it. So I don't know if it was a sonic ray, which they have now for crowd control, or whatever it was, but it was a straight-out fucking tank with a dish pointed right
they
at the fucking house
that
he was
fucking,
in.
They flash you with that fucking ray, and you shit your pants, and you get all confused. You start crying for your mama. You can't think straight.
Makes your skin
burn
and shit.
Yeah, it feels like you're
burning
instead of microwave.
It's
microwave.
Feeling like it's burning. Crazy shit.
But oh, yeah,
so,
you get all
so, you know,
up.
Again, same deal there. You know, fucking, I mean, yeah, was it a terrible crime? Absolutely. You know, the dude killed two people. It was horrible. But what the fuck? 50, 60 cops, you know, fucking a tank with some sort of fucking death ray on it? What the fuck, dude?
I know. And people just watch this stuff, and they're, you know, not everybody, but I mean, for the most part, people just watch it on the news and just, oh, that's just normal.
Oh, there it is. Oh, the cops are responding.
Yeah. They got him. He was a bad guy. These people come from us, you know. Murder's horrible. Yeah, these crimes are, you know, some people are doing them. They're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, these people come from us. These are not, you know, devils that we're destroying. You know, they're human beings, too, you know.
Right.
Crimes or no crimes. And, you know, just people just get so detached from humanity. You know, they have no problem with just the strong arm of the law just ripping these people apart, you know.
It's come down to where people just don't give a fuck unless it's happening to them, you know. It's like if it's a distant thing or, you know, unless it's your fucking neighbor or yourself where it's happening to, people just don't give a fuck, it seems like. It's like they're, you know, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you know, like we keep going back to this cop block site on Facebook. I mean, there's, you know, 500,000 plus people there. So something's going on where people are realizing that there's some bad shit going down with the police.
Yeah.
Beyond even their armament, man. It's just the way they're reacting to the public.
You ever read the comments? You ever go through and read, like, just take an hour and just go through and read it, you know, 150 comments on one of those stories they'll post? There's you know, for the most part, you get the people just, you know, you get a lot of the tough guys. Hey, if that motherfucker did that to me, you'd be dead, motherfucker. You know, all the tough guy bullshit. You know, I'd kill that cop. We'd go after that motherfucker. You know, you always get the tough guys. And then you get all the people that are like, that's fucked up, they're out of control, for the most part, most people. But then you'll get that 10-15% on there, and they'll be like, you know, well, that's just one instance, and, you know, we need right. to support the law enforcement. They're, like, kissing their ass, and I'm like, dude, you're in the wrong spot to be fucking, you know, like, talking about the, you know, police charity ball and donate and stuff. I'm like, you need to get off the site, because those people, man, they just get ripped on there, you know.
Yeah.
Who
knows if they're even not paid at this point, man. I mean, I'm seeing
right.
a lot of articles where there's like government agents that all they're paid to do is sit down and fucking make comments in comment boards now about propping the government and different governmental agencies.
Right. I seen
you know?
A lady on there one time with supporting police. It was a guy that murdered a mentally retarded guy or whatever. And I was reading through the comments on there, and this lady was like, you know, I'm sure he's grieving greatly for that, and you know, he has to live with that, and we need to support the law enforcement, this, that. And she was chastising this guy that wrote some really negative comments about, I'd like to kill that motherfucker. You know, he was going off on this cop. And then this guy that this lady was ripping, she was probably a little bit older, maybe 50-something-year-old lady, she was ripping on this younger guy, and the guy, his brother had been murdered by the police out in L.A., and then he told her, he said, you know, shut the fuck up, bitch. He goes, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He
yeah.
had, you know, family, close family member killed by police, unjustly to him, you know. And so she just shut up, you know, no more comments.
Yeah.
She had been going back and forth with people on there. I'm like, man, I don't like to get on that. So I read some of the comments and I read the stories, but I don't like to interact with people on there because you never know who you're talking to, you know, or what they've been
right.
through and stuff. You know, and I would definitely not get on there supporting police on that site. You know, you want to do that, go to your charity, the police ball or whatever.
You know, they got plenty of those sites too. But, I mean, you know, and again, you know, maybe that's a good thing that they're coming on trying to prop the cops, because those are the people that usually, I mean, if they're legitimate people, they're the clueless fucks.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, they're the ones that really have no idea what's going on and that this shit's happening
right.
and at the extent that it's happening and, you know, I mean, all that kind of shit, man. So, it's got to be, people know, I mean, that it's happening, and something
right.
seems to be happening with
you
it.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Yeah.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Yep.
Yeah, man. So,
that's what
I
they need right
we'll,
there.
We'll see. It seems like it's some sort of flashpoint before anything is done about it. Something terribly bad has got to happen before people finally say, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing it this way anymore, you know? And
right.
that's unfortunate, because usually it's got to be something big for it to change sentiment across the entire country. It's got to be like a fucking, you know, Columbine caused by the cops, or maybe even bigger, you know, because, I mean, even that would be justified, you know?
Columbine caused by the cops.
You know,
mowed out a bunch of school children.
They fucking go crazy
them,
or something. I mean, it's going to take
one
something.
One of them took a candy. One of them took a candy bar from the gas station. So they followed them into their schools and just slaughtered like 20 third graders.
They just fucking. Hank, get the tank out. We're going to mow down some fucking kids here.
Obama would be like, Now, let's not get too excited about this. It's a tragedy.
Right.
Let's
not overreact.
We have to support the police in this.
We've got to find out all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, that's a ridiculous example, but you know,
funny though.
It's got to take somewhere because it. And who knows? It's going to be like, maybe it'll be like another Waco, but this time enough people will be pissed off about it. And the thing, like,
right.
dude, you imagine Waco happened today? I mean, there would be instantaneous
right.
coverage.
Oh, God.
There'd be people there immediately filming it on their phone, taking pictures, covering it, whatever
that's
else.
That's kind of why.
You know, the way it went down when it went down this time around.
Right. In a creepy way, I mean, it's kind of a bad thing to say, but in a way, I was kind of hoping that the whole the Bundy Ranch thing would turn into that, you know, that they just have a standoff, you know, because I was like, you don't want to see people get killed, but I was like, these fuckers are crazy enough to fight these guys, the federal agents, I'm like, you know, and that was the whole thing, too. See, they had them outgunned, and that's why, you know, and then the federal agents backed down and everything, and I'm like, you know, if that would have been some, you know, goofball nut, you know, cult leader, and they knew they only had a couple guns in there, and they had them outgunned, and there wouldn't be no chance that they're going to get blown away. They would have been dead meat. They would have went right in and got them. But,
yeah.
You know, because they had hundreds of guys out there with guns loaded to the teeth. Those federal agents are like, fuck this. I don't want to go in there. You know?
Yeah, and it may, yeah, they're doing all kinds of crazy shit now. They're like, I heard they're pulling people over on like the interstate and stuff. Some of them are from, who knows? And they're, you know, doing stupid shit. But maybe that's what it's going to take. Something like that. I don't know. I mean, you know, and it's happened in the past. I mean, like Waco, and then when the Philadelphia police firebombed that fucking apartment complex. It was, I think, in like 83,
yeah.
82 or 83. It was some sort of, you know, there was a group of African Americans. It was like an African Liberation Front or something. And it killed like 30, 40 people. It killed a bunch of kids, like 11 kids, you know, and still
right.
Nothing, man. I mean, still, they're firebombing the fucking apartment buildings, you know, right in the
right.
Middle of the city. It burned down a bunch of like fucking two blocks and shit. And, you know,
jeez.
They went crazy. And then in Waco,
yeah.
Same deal, man. Killed a bunch of kids, a bunch of women, a bunch of children, you know, all for their safety. All they had such
right.
A terrible life, they had to come in and end it. You know?
Yep.
That's probably going to be some sort of flashpoint this time around, because there's so many cameras everywhere that it's going to be like a live deal. If it goes down anywhere, you know, people are going to be fucking, you know, reporting on it instantaneously,
right.
And maybe that'll be
everybody
some sort
with,
of like
everybody with an iPhone or a smartphone will be out there
right.
Like Joe on the scene, CNN reporter. Or
especially
something.
If it goes down in the city. Can you imagine if that happened in Philadelphia today? That would never happen. They would never fucking firebomb an apartment
nope.
Building because there'd be people standing right outside their doors, video, you know, videoing the whole fucking thing.
They'll,
you know,
they'll have it.
The cops would have had a different sort of outcome on that, I'm willing to bet, today, even
right.
As bad as things are today with that fucking fire.
They'll have an iPhone app out for them, for the iPhone 6, and it'll have all the graphics and everything, and it'll video you, and it'll send it directly back to the news studios, and it'll have you with all the graphics and everything going, the scroll under you and everything. And you could do your own live shoot from the site of the
reporter
incident,
and then it'll
have the app and everything, and they'll pay you through the app. You'll get your if they use your video as a feature, you'll get a certain amount of pay, and you'll have like basically a million fucking reporters out on the beat walking around looking for stories.
That's a good idea, dude. That's a fucking great app. That's a
yeah,
great idea that was, for an app, dude. We should.
You know, I think.
And then try to sell to the fucking media, you know?
All right.
That's a great idea.
They have their logo. They have, like, the Fox logo. Whoever you sign up with, you know, if you sign up with Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or whatever, ABC, NBC.
Yeah, they pay you money for fucking,
yeah,
for, you know, reporting that, shit. And
right, yeah. And
pictures.
You know, the video quality on these cameras are getting so good, they could have the graphics and everything on you and all the like live Fox stuff that's on the actual news thing at the time, it could be rolling on your video as you're recording it, and then you know, I just thought of this, man. I might be.
Yeah, that's
soon.
A fucking great
it's
idea, dude.
And then if they use your,
you better
if
get
they use
it's going to be stolen if you don't.
Right, I better go.
Two months later, it's going to be already
right?
Fucking being developed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But yeah,
well, you know,
would,
fucking
they would have to pay you
CNN
if they
already
it.
Has the hologram shit down, so they could just hologram
right.
Your ass right in there, you know, be there right next
right.
To Wolf Blitzer talking to him as you're, you know,
yeah.
Reporting on some, you know, heinous
yeah.
Thing going down
I'm
somewhere.
I'm standing there with my arm around nothing. I'm like, Wolf, how was it when you were talking to an atheist girl and you looked like a complete idiot after that tornado?
You're right.
They'll be like, and you kept saying, talking to her about God.
But you have to say, you have to thank God for being alive. But you have to thank God.
Yeah, that's funny. That was funny. That was my new punk band. That was going to be the name of it, Tornado Alley Atheist. I always thought that was a good name.
That's a good name.
Yeah, there's a Facebook page that now, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got to be quick on that shit nowadays, man.
Man, they
it
get
goes
attacked
fast.
By, yeah, if you don't get it down quick, it's gone. They I went on their site, their Facebook site. They get a lot of Muslim attack them. That Tornado Alley atheist site. They're fighting with Muslims a lot. I
really?
Noticed it seems like they get a lot of death threats and stuff. Yeah. I've noticed
well,
that.
Well, dude,
yeah.
you know, Muslims, I mean, they're definitely, you know, their own sort of radical. I mean, you know, we've got fucking Christian radicals here in the U.S., and they've got their own agenda in, you know, in the fucking educational system and govern whatever else. But hey, have you seen a couple things that have gone on lately in, like, in Iran? These kids, they're in, like, their 20s, their teens, and they made a video of them dancing around to that Pharrell song, Happy. And they got arrested over it and had to repent. They made him repent for dancing to the Pharrell song. And that was in Iran. And then another, and you know, of course the Muslims laying this fucking smackdown. And then did you see the one in Sudan where they, I'm pulling up now trying to get the lady's name here, but she was fucking condemned for apostasy. Which basically she was a Muslim and converted to Christianity and married a Christian. She's 8 months pregnant and they've condemned her to torture and death because of converting to Christianity. And part of her sentence involves like whiplashes and fucking corporal punishment, you know, beatings and shit like that. And then they kill her.
Right.
So that you know,
well, that's what happens. That's what happened. Religion takes over the government. That's why we can't have Christianity take over this government here. We'll have witch burnings and
we already have that to a certain extent, man.
But they want to go back to it.
The reason we have executions is because of fucking Christians. If everybody in this country was an atheist, we wouldn't have executions anymore. I mean, we're only one of, like, what, 5-6 countries in the world that executes people anymore? And now, because of this fucked-up thing in Oklahoma where that dude went through 30 minutes of painful death and they had to inject the fucking that shit into his groin to kill him, you know, and he in his blood vein, you know, terrible,
that was
terrible.
Illinois,
now,
wasn't it?
And on top of it, a lot of the drugs we used to get were from Europe. And now these European countries are refusing to send those fucking drugs to for execution purposes. So now they're talking about going back to firing squads, dude. Firing squads. There's been people in the federal government mentioning firing squads again. Yeah.
Civil War times?
Yeah, right. 1800s, 200 years ago, we're regressing again.
And that's all I have to say about that.
You know, it just keeps going back to too many innocent people are being accused and convicted and killed by the state. You know, and that fucking that article I quoted a couple weeks ago, man. 2 out of every 25 or 4 out of every 100 now, and this is just straight from statistics that they've gotten, you know, over the past few years. Because of all the fucked up evidence that's going on, 2 out of every 25, or what, is that right? 1 out of every 25, or 4 out of every 100, are innocent. We're killing innocent people for fucking no reason, and maybe under absolutely excruciating circumstances. You know, that's the reason why we shouldn't be killing people. Do people deserve it? Yeah, some do, man. I mean, some are heinous, evil motherfuckers that should probably die. But should it be happening? No. Not the way it's going down. You know.
The
other countries that perform executions, it's like China, it's Iran, it's North Korea, you know,
Right. And us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And old Texas, man, leading the way. You know, those fucking, the Texans love their death penalty, man.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're right or not.
Yep. Yeah, I know. This is they love this right here.
Fire!
Down in Texas.
Hey, if
man,
anybody's listening, give us a call. We're listening to Blisterfish. Our phone number is 646-595-4686. Give us a call. We had a couple good calls last week, and love to hear from anybody that's got an opinion on anything we're talking about, definitely even an opposing opinion. Those are always the most interesting.
Right.
So
we'd like to welcome
Christian
or believers in, you know, if you got a faith question or want to talk about our disbelief or whatever you want to talk about, you want to try to call in and save us and preach us the gospel, we will allow it, but we will offer a countering opinion.
We will refute it at the same time.
We will refute it, but we will let you speak. Well, I think we did pretty good last week about letting Meg, the call we had last week, who was a Christian, letting her speak her piece. And I don't, you know, I mean, you get a little excited and you want to state your case. It's hard when it's one person talking to the two of us, and we're both trying to get what we want to say in. So we're kind of stepping on each other, and we stepped on her a little bit. But I think for the most part, she got across a lot of things that she wanted to say, and then we kind of countered it and said what we wanted to say. So
yeah.
I thought it was
Well, you know, man, that's
going to
happen with spirited debate. You're gonna get at each other a little bit, I think. But she was a good caller, good sport about talking to us about, you know, about her beliefs and we had a good conversation, man. Genetics, that whole bit, man, that was a good vein of conversation to talk about. But, you know, it's back to the old Adam and Eve and everybody coming from them and the whole genetic thing. But, the whole narcissism of religion, man, it's just crazy the way everything revolves around their belief, or Christian belief or a Muslim belief or whatever else, you know. I mean, religious people were so consumed with themselves that they thought the entire universe, literally the entire universe, revolved around them up until a certain point, until science disproved it. You know, and now we're down to, now it's infighting between religions. My God is better than your God, and all of you people are going to hell because I believe in a Jesus, you know, and you don't. So you're going to hell, and I'm the right one, and you're wrong, it's so fucking narcissistic, man. You gotta be out in the realm to believe that fucking the universe revolves around
you. It's all about you.
Yeah.
Well, in saying that, and I kind of on that note, did you see that video interview with Jim Caviezel, the actor who played Jesus in the Passion of the Christ movie, Mel Gibson's movie?
No.
They did an interview with him. A family member of mine posted it on Facebook, and I was watching. It's like a 39-minute interview video, and I got about 20 minutes in. I had to shut it off. But, I mean, it goes through all the stuff that he went through in that movie. Now, I don't know. He seems like a nice guy, so I don't think he's lying. But, I mean, he basically died on the cross, or almost died on the cross. He had to have heart surgery right after the movie. He went from, I think he said he went from like 220 down to 168 in body weight. He got struck by lightning while filming. All this stuff, dude, all this stuff.
Well,
happened
that
to him.
Itself should be a fucking sign.
Yeah.
He's on the wrong path.
His shoulder got dislocated when he was hanging on the cross. He got accidentally whipped during the scourging scene. He had a 14-stitch gash opened up on his back.
Wow.
And he collapsed. And he had all this stuff, dude, all these health problems happen. And he was going on. And I'm like listening to this, and I'm like, man, what a – I'm kind of like impressed. I'm like, what dedication to craft. You know, just amazing, you know, the ability to – you know, but then he started listening to him, the why he was doing it. He was, you know, consulting with God through the whole movie and – you know, Lord, I know I'm not worthy to play this part. And he's going on and on, dude. And by about halfway through it, I was so sickened by it, I had to turn it off. He was like, I knew that it was riding on me, that countless people around the world would get saved from this if I pulled it off right. And I was like, so you're telling, you know, this guy actually is deluded into thinking that this movie that he's acting in with Mel Gibson is going to save people from hell, that their souls and spirits depend on him playing the scene in his mind more Christ-like than it would normally be or whatever. I was like, this guy is so self-absorbed and narcissistic. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, how can you think like that? I'm like, when I was watching this, I was like, this is the problem with religion. This is why the world is fucked up. This is why we can't have nice things, is because of people like this. Even though he seems like he would normally be a nice guy, he seems like he's deluded. He's brainwashed. He's nuts. He's fucking nuts. Mel Gibson is fucking nuts. And, you know, did they make a good movie? Can they make a good movie? Yes. Are they artistic? Yes. Do they have talent? Yes. But if you sit there and think that you're saving people from hell and they're doing things wrong because they don't believe like you, you're fucked in your head, man. You are fucked up. And that's these guys are the ones that think we're fighting these wars, these just wars against all these other religious countries and all this stuff. These are the same people that keep all this shit going. They keep all these wars going. They keep all this fearful mindset that we can't trust nobody of different faiths or non-faiths, or, you know, we have to control everything. We're afraid of everything. We're afraid of, you know, it's the same mindset. And I tell you, these are that kind of mindset, that Jim Caviezel mindset, even though he may be a great guy, that because of religion, because of faith, has made him a horrible person. He's horrible because of that. And he is. He's a detriment. He's a detriment to society and the world because of his religious views and his faith.
Yep.
And he really does. It's destroying this fucking world. You know, not just Christians, Muslims, any religion that causes other people to suffer because of your beliefs. It's ruining the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Look at the Middle East, man. I mean, you know, it's just a fucking jumble of, you know, massive amount of religions, and they all hate each other. And even within the, you know, the fucking Sunnis hate the Shiite, you know, it's ridiculous. And the Catholics hate the Presbyterians, and, you know, we believe almost the exact same thing that you do, except for a couple different things, so we're going to go to war with you.
Catholics, the Protestants kill each other
Protestants, Irish.
And, the Presbyterians hate the Mormons.
Right.
I wonder
who the Mormons are going to go to war with.
Yeah, they're going against the Lutherans.
You know, I was thinking the other day about how similar Rastafarian religion is to Mormonism.
So they
both believe in Jesus Christ. They both believe in a Latter-day Saint. You know, and for them it was, Joseph Smith, who saw the apostles in the late 1800s, or no, it was a mid or early 1800s, but, you know, they saw the apostles. And for Rastafarians, their belief in a Latter-day Saint was from Rastafari, who changed his name to Haile Selassie, and became the emperor of Ethiopia, you know, and they believe that he was the second coming of Christ, and that he was a living, the God was a living man, you know, as Marley said in his song, and, you know. But it just seems very similar, man. They're all Latter-day Saints. They believe in, you know, Jesus plus one, or, you know, Jesus plus two. Yeah, Jesus was able to bring along a couple guests, I guess, in their religion.
Right. Right.
No.
Yep, that's crazy.
It was like a dinner invite. But, you know, like the Seventh-day Adventists, their entire religion is based on
Whoop, I'm losing you there. You there?
Can you hear me?
Losing you, Dad. Yeah, I was losing you there for a minute.
All
right. I hear you now.
The Seventh-day Adventists, man, they believe their whole religion is based off a fail, and it's called the Great Disappointment. So the guy that the entire religion was founded upon, and I wish I knew his name, it was another John Smith or something. I think it was a very common name. He went up into the hills and he calculated from the Bible that Jesus was coming back at this certain given time, and of course people followed him. He had, you know, 15, 20 followers that went up into the mountains, and of course Jesus didn't show up, you know. So he went back down again and he did his recalculations from the Bible, you know, and all the dates in the Bible. And, I was wrong in my calculations, and Jesus is actually going to show up on this date. So he went back up in the mountain again, and this time with even more followers. And again, he was disappointed because Jesus didn't show up. And those are some of the founding documents of the Seventh-day Adventists, are the great disappointment of this guy hauling people up into the mountains, waiting for Jesus to come, and Jesus never showing up.
Right.
That's what that religion is based on.
The Rastafarians have a document like that, too, of the great disappointment. It was when Jah ran out of the ritual weed.
Well, you know that would never happen.
Yeah,
you know that
there.
Would never happen.
Yeah, it's that Jamaican gold or whatever.
Ja always provides that, provides the cons.
Right.
So yeah, you and then you picture like a Rastafarian guy right next to a Mormon guy, you know,
right.
Just standing next to each other, and they could both go, "Hey, yeah, I believe in Jesus plus one."
Ja people, get ready. Oh man, that's funny. Oh man, well, you still there?
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, I didn't hear you. I thought I lost you again. Hey, I'm looking at another story. Just jumping back real quick to the whole police brutality thing and that. I came upon another story that I had sent you before about we were talking about cell phones and video and everything and you know having the wild apps and stuff. That I seen that one that Apple. The title of the story is Apple Helps Cop Hide Police Brutality. Where if they have a police emergency in the area, they shut down all cell service, and it shuts off the cell phone, so you can't video or record anything.
That's
that
why they wanted those kill switches. They've been talking forever about these putting kill switches in phones to save thefts, which is a problem. It's a massive problem of thefts of phones, but that's really why they want the kill switch. It doesn't have anything to do with saving the fucking consumer. You know.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree.
It's,
I just wanted
to
see if you heard that story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One way or the other, man. I. It's all about surveillance and the control of it. You know. So.
Right.
It's. I don't know, man. It's not going away. It's pretty ugly. Fucking Orwell had it. I mean, you read 1984, and that motherfucker had it down, dude.
He had it.
I mean, he knew it all.
He had it, man. He knew. That was definitely right on for sure. Yeah, the troops in the streets, everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Quit praying on me, would you?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, with the police these days and everything that's going on, I mean, they're just straight out killing. I mean, the problem is this is. And I think this will be one of the answers, and you're starting to see some pressure around it, is that police investigate themselves. They, they have the internal investigations.
Right. They need an outside organization.
That's what they're pushing for all for all deaths while under police custody.
Right.
Which needs to happen. You can't have a fucking cop investigating a cop. It's just like, in any other industry in the world, if you're self-policed, there's going to be corruption up the ass.
Well,
here's one. This one's from early May, and it says, Kentucky State Police won't investigate teen's fatal shooting despite cam video evidence. Right from the cop's own car, videotaped him shooting a teen and killing him, and they won't even investigate it. And that seems to be happening over and over, where they're just straight out shooting people dead, and they're not even, there's no investigation behind it. They're just, we'll head on. Sounds about right.
The old massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah, something has to be done with it, but I just, leaving the police in charge of investigating its own criminal activity is like there's like having Monsanto in charge of the FDA having somebody from Wall Street in charge of the Treasury Department or blah 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 insert stupid scenario here it's just like it's the same thing. It's what's wrong in every area of the government and everything. It's just the people. Nobody's for the people anymore. Nobody. It's all for the actual organization or company. It's everything is for the corporation now. There's nothing for individual people. Nobody's
they got names for it. We don't use them much on here, but the Illuminati, New World Order. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And there's so much
ridiculous shit
surrounding it. I'm hesitant to use those terms, but tomato, tomato,
people,
really, in the end. I mean,
people
corporate takeover, Illuminati, it all means the same thing.
Right.
So,
but I hate using those words because, like, once again, when we were talking about the atheists saying you're a crackpot about questioning 9/11 or questioning, you know, the link between, you know, certain illnesses and babies and different people with vaccinations, and, you know, they call you a crackpot if you question any of this stuff, or if you actually show them peer-reviewed scientific evidence, they still think you're nuts for questioning it, questioning the government, questioning anything.
And
I just in my own personal life, just in my own personal life, my dad, you know, he's been through, he was in Vietnam, he was exposed to Agent Orange, so he has a lot of health problems now in his mid-60s because of it. And, you know, he was, every winter he would get deathly ill with bronchitis really bad and get the flu really bad, and every year he'd get sick, and every year he took that friggin' flu shot in, like, October, November. And I told, you know, I don't know, you probably know, I'm anti anything intravenous that you don't have to have. I don't think it's a good idea to put anything that you don't know for sure is 100% pure into your system. And so I've always been kind of against it, and especially for people that are, you know, they always say people that are sick or young are the ones who need it. No, I think the only people that could really live through it are people that are healthy, you know. But anyways, he would take this for 20 years. Every winter, he'd just get deathly ill. This year, he didn't get it. And this was the first winter in forever he didn't get sick. And he didn't get all screwed up. You know, so, I mean, just, is it a coincidence? It could be. But, you know, I took it as a, to me, you know, as a sign that, you know, he don't need it. You know, now he could drop dead tomorrow. You know, I don't, who knows, but I mean, you know, at least this winter he didn't suffer through those same things that he always suffers through. Every winter he suffers through those same things, the flu, the bronchitis really bad, all winter long he gets that shit on and off, and this year he didn't take the flu shot, and now he finally didn't get it, and he felt great all winter. And this was one of the worst winters we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't sick the whole winter.
And it doesn't affect everybody the same way as much as they like
right.
to say it does. So, you know, I mean,
right.
depending on how much, you know, how many drugs you've taken in the past, whether legally or not, you know, I mean, you know, a prescription drugs, it can fuck with your body if you've been taking
right.
prescription drugs for years, and then, you know, and whatever else. I mean, you know, everybody reacts differently to, you know, and man, some people, it probably just isn't good for them. People that, you know, that would, oh, man, don't say that, you know, but it's not
right.
good for everybody. And, you know, for the majority,
right.
yeah. I mean, you know, measles and stuff like that, I mean, it's been proven that it helps. But some other
mm-hmm.
things, I don't know, man. I don't, there's a lot of crazy shit in vaccines. There's mercury. There's formaldehyde, just all kinds of crazy shit in vaccines. And it's just such a minuscule level. Well, maybe, but you're taking 20, 30, 40 over your lifetime. It's not so minuscule after a while. Mercury never
right.
leaves your body, you know.
Right.
So, you know, fuck, dude. One of those other things where if you've got a distrust in the government, there's a kind of a natural... You know, this is government apparatus, and this is where everyone's so scared of the Obamacare because they'd be responsible for in charge of a lot of the stuff. But, you know, you got the government apparatus running this vaccine program. And there's this article right in I was just looking at earlier. It's on Alternet. And let me pull it up
right.
here, man. It's just about vaccines, that the CIA was pulling vaccines for Let me get this son of a bitch here. It's a pretty interesting article, actually. The CIA was pulling genetic information in Pakistan. They were funding a vaccine program in Pakistan, and at the same time, they knew the area, supposedly, this is what this article is claiming, that bin Laden was in, and they were trying to pull genetic information from his kids to find his kids, and therefore,
mm-hmm.
you know, find a line to him.
Right.
So here, I'll read the first. Let me read the first paragraph here, real quick. It says, in the years before, and this is off of Alternet, and it was just today. It says, inside the CIA's sordid role in creating a global health emergency. So the first
mm-hmm.
paragraph in this thing is, in the years before U.S. forces killed Osama bin Laden, CIA handlers in Pakistan secretly hired a doctor to conduct a fake vaccination campaign. The intelligence agency told the doctor to conduct a program to obtain DNA from bin Laden's children in order to confirm the al-Qaeda leader was in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The information the doctor gathered was used in the ultimately successful effort to kill bin Laden in 2011.
So
now all these people in these countries don't want to take – and this has come out, you know, and now these people in Pakistan, all these destitute countries don't want anything to do with these vaccination programs. They're starting to get measles again and fucking – you know, polio and shit like that, because they're so afraid of fucking of what happened already from the CIA programs.
Right.
You know?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That won't be the first time they did stuff like that, too.
Right.
They've messed with people before with getting them putting stuff in vaccinations. Well,
I tell you, dude.
Go ahead.
I don't know. It makes me wonder who, you know, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy in some of this shit, man.
Right.
You know, who's truly doing the most harm around the world?
Right.
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
I don't know, man. I question whether it's fucking terrorists or not.
Right. Yep. It's all from the eye of the beholder, dude. What lens are you looking through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of the biggest stories that just passed this last week. It happened last Friday. I don't know if you missed it or not. It was a huge story. It was a massive operation.
Uh-oh.
You remember? Operation American Spring promises to drive Obama from office last Friday in D.C.
30 million.
10 to 30 million were supposedly marching on Washington to remove Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, and Eric Holder from office. And it was led by a retired Army Colonel, Harry Riley. So this is the story that preceded that, so I don't know how many they ended up. This article made me laugh. Remember, I think we talked about it before. I wanted to talk about this last Wednesday, and I don't think we got to it. But it says, the activists say they expect 10 million to 30 million like-minded Americans to join them on Friday in the nation's capital for the rally, patterned after the Occupy Wall Street and Arab Spring protests. I don't know if you've seen the final numbers or if you've seen when it happened, but I don't think it was – I don't even know if they had 100,000 people there. I mean, I don't think they did.
Well, it was headed by Beck, you know. He was one of the people promoting it, Glenn Beck, yeah. I did notice, you know, of course, that's a fairly even-keeled report of what they were trying to do. And actually, people are starting to turn on Beck because it was such a fucking failure. But, you know, well, I saw another article that said, yeah, the people from the American Spring, they were talking about chemtrails and you know, and so they tried to write off the, you know, these crazy people. They tried to attribute these things that may or may not be true, and some of which I do believe in, to these crazy fuckers from this American Spring movement.
Right.
So they're basically trying to delegitimize some of these things like chemtrails or I forgot what else they said was. I think maybe they mentioned 9/11. And then there was one other thing too that made them try to basically attach these ideas that we've talked about even before to these crazy fuckers that showed up to try and depose Obama, you know.
Yep.
And to me, I thought it was. I almost thought it was by design. It almost seemed like they wanted to send some people out there to fail on purpose and convey these things like we're crazy as hell. We're stupid, and we're here to talk about chemtrails, and we're here to talk about 9/11.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, chemtrails, nothing's ever been proved about that, so I just drop that now. I don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Until there's some scientific proof that they prove that it's bad. I mean, when I was younger, I always thought...
Something's happening again.
Well,
something's happening with that. I mean, you look up in the sky... You see, if people want to call them Ken contrails, they can call them contrails all they want. But when you look up in the sky and those fuckers are braying across the sky and there's globules dripping from the fucking contrail, little fucking, you know, drips. Not little, but they're massive. Like globules coming from the trail itself, and then that trail spreading all the way across the sky as the wind blows. Something's happening. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's something.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my cousin about it, and he goes, you know, that's always happened. And I go, no, it hasn't.
No, it wasn't
fucking
like
way
that.
It happened.
No, yeah. I remember
these
when I was
guys,
a kid. Contrails would dissipate really fast. They wouldn't be there for hours later.
Right.
You know,
or spread across the entire sky and create cloud cover, which happens very frequently. And the flip side of it that basically destroys the argument of they're just contrails and they happen regularly and normally and are supposed to happen is, well, how do you explain a blue sky day then, which is extremely rare nowadays anywhere in the country? But how do you explain a blue sky day? If you can see, did planes stop flying that day? Were there no planes in the sky that day when the sky was entirely clear blue? If it happens all the time, then it would happen all the time. You know, it would be a normal thing that you know, even on a blue sky day, you would see contrails. And there's a lot of times where you don't see a damn thing coming from a plane. Yeah, they're contrails on occasion, but that's when they're up high and they're creating ice crystals, blah, blah, blah. Right. But what's happening is something. And I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's something.
Right.
And, you know, another one of those things where...
Once again, it's not... If you don't have all the answers and all the proof, then you're told you're a nutbag.
Right.
But I, you know, it's hard for me to get all the answers and know all the truth and have all the proof. I mean, but you know, something just doesn't click. But that's another one of those issues, the whole chemtrails thing that I like to try to stay away from. Chemtrails, Illuminati, those are like two that I've been purposely, we're on our eighth episode now, and this is the first time I think we've mentioned either one of those words.
And I've been
purposely trying to avoid them because I wanted us to seem somewhat more legitimate, and I don't want to get tied in with a lot of those. I'm trying to keep us not. Another thing we don't mention a lot is Alex Jones, and even though I just don't want to be affiliated with him, and I don't want to be affiliated with those topics, even though I do find a lot of what he says is credible. And I do agree with him on a lot of stuff, but I also don't agree with him on a lot of stuff.
He's also crazy.
Yeah.
He's almost absolutely crazy. You know?
Yeah.
I agree
he's
with
just,
that, too.
I don't,
I mean,
to me,
he's somebody that's there to delegitimize this shit.
Yeah,
he's there to talk about it and make it look crazy. You know?
He's like a provocateur, you know?
Right.
He gets in there, he might be saying the right information, but he says it in a crazy fashion to delegitimize the whole movement.
Right. And it makes
like
everybody look stupid
man.
There. Well, you know, when he's at, Bilderberg conferences, and he's out front
screaming at people
in the building that are fucking, a mile away, you know.
We are not going to be your slaves to your monarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's exactly him. And, you know, they're in the fucking tidy little conference room somewhere. But, you know, another legitimate, issue or concern to be. You got these people, corporate and political leaders from around the world, meeting secretly every year somewhere around the world, the Bilderberg Group, and yet you almost hear nothing on the news about it. And it was denied by Clinton, and now he doesn't deny it. Old Slick Willie, you know, he denied it for years that it even existed, and now he talks about it.
Right.
But it's there. It's happening. And you know, what are they talking about, dude? They're certainly not talking about, hey, let's build some fucking playground somewhere. Let's run a vaccine campaign or a malaria campaign in Africa or whatever. Because if they did that, they certainly would want press coverage of it, right? They'd want to be looking like the good people. So if it's an absolute secrecy, people from all around the world in terms of corporate leaders, political leaders, all meet in secret. What the fuck are they talking about? They're talking about the big picture.
You know what they're talking about?
The big
picture. About, let's go in and make that that sovereign government there. Let's destabilize them with a rebel movement, and then we'll take over that
right.
government. We'll get
right.
their natural resources. Let's
yeah.
let's pump up Putin and let him roll into Eastern Europe again. We need something to start over there. We'll
right.
take over. We'll get into Albania or whatever. We'll fucking that's all. It's all the big picture stuff. We'll take
bigger
over this
picture,
bank.
Right.
We'll let we'll get these companies to conglomerate. We'll do this. We'll do that. It's just all the big picture shit.
Yeah. We'll get these four companies involved
in
that situation in Ukraine, and we'll get these three
right.
companies
yeah.
to produce whatever we need here in Africa, and we'll get you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck else are they talking about? It's absolute secrecy. Hillary's been at these meetings. Obama's been at.
We need a revival in America of the Christian religion to keep these
right.
Rednecks supporting the Republican Party. They're losing support. So let's have another revival.
Right.
You know?
Whatever it is, but in the end. It's the bigger picture that has nothing to do with democracy or our structure of government. Call it what you want. I call it corporatism because I think it has less of a conspiracy tinge to it than, whatever, Illuminati, New World Order.
Yeah.
But to me, it's also tomato. Corporatism,
right.
that's what it is. And, they meet yearly and then obviously, communicate throughout the year about what's going to go down in terms of world
affairs.
That's
what you said before. It's basically
right.
a cookie. In past episodes, it's corporate fascism is what we're under
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
With a theocratic base,
Yeah.
I mean,
And of course, the
Christian
bankers are always at those fucking Bilderberg conferences, man.
Oh,
always.
Of course.
So, they finance. So we'll finance you here. We'll give you money here. You pay us back through this, It's all fucking backdoor deals, man. And
if you want to piss off my wife, Morticia, dude, come over here and start talking about the Bilderbergers, dude. She'll want to punch you right in the fucking mouth. She hates the word Bilderberger. She hates it, and she hates Alex Jones. She hates Alex
yeah.
Jones.
I can see why people would hate him.
I used to listen to his radio show all the time years ago. I started
yeah.
listening to him. I don't know when he actually started, but it wasn't long after 9/11. It was like maybe a couple years after 9/11. I started listening to his show all the time on the internet radio. And
he predicted 9/11, dude.
Right.
said outright, and of course a lot of that was from that other guy that William
Russo.
Colorado that got assassinated by Comes a Pale Horse or whatever. But anyway, Jones predicted
that
the World Trade Centers would be hit by planes, and that our government would blame terrorists from another country, and it would cause us to invade a country in the Middle East. He predicted like 10 of the things that happened on 9/11, like 6 months before, which again makes
wow.
me think, what the fuck, what's going on with this dude?
Well, remember that film producer Russo said he talked with Rockefeller. A
yeah.
year before it happened, and Rockefeller told him that there was going to be a major event in New York, and it was going to – he didn't say what
yep.
it was, but he said it was going to change everything, and it was going to cause a bunch of changes in laws, and they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted militarily because of it.
And they're going
to –
Russo, he's all, they're going to hunt for a guy on dialysis in a cave somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and – in the Middle
right.
East, Afghanistan, or Pakistan.
They'll
hunt some dude down or have nothing
it.
To do with it. Yeah,
right.
man. Yeah. So I don't know, man. There's some funky things, and a lot of people predicted it. William Cooper, that's that fucking guy's name, William Cooper, Behold
right.
the Pale Horse, I believe. He made some crazy claims in that book. He was in an Army intelligence for years, and he
right.
made claims of seeing, like, fucking UFOs coming out of the ocean and shit. Just some crazy
right.
shit. But he also, and actually was the first, I think, to predict an attack on the World Trade Center before 9/11. And then several months after that, Alex Jones hopped on the bandwagon, and he was kind of coattailing William Cooper. And that fucker, Bill Clinton called him the most dangerous man in America. He had his own radio show and broadcast almost every night. And that fucker got shot down right in his front lawn by federal agents. Right in his fucking front lawn, man.
Nice.
So, you know.
So, yeah. So, basically, they take all his information and give it to Alex Jones, and he becomes a provocateur and makes it look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You ever notice he rose out of nowhere real young. He got all of a sudden, he's got his own television studio. He's got all this stuff, and he's just out of nowhere, dude. Now he's got a million-plus listeners every day. And,
well,
and
you
he
know,
just
no,
gets out
he's
there.
Been around a long time. He's been around
well, no, I'm
for
just saying,
20
yeah, but he's
years
not that old,
something.
Dude. He's younger than us. I'm saying when he started out,
he
was
be,
very,
but he's
very
been
young.
Around a long time, man. And you know how
he's
makes
younger
money.
Than us.
It's all advertising for, like, survival shit and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
that's where
his early,
he's getting all his money.
Dude, he's in his early 40s. He's not very old. He
yeah, I know,
older.
But he's been around a while. I mean, 15, 20 years he's been around. He's been around a while. I mean, look at 9/11, man. That was 13 years ago now, you know.
Right.
I mean, so he's been around a little while, but it, you know, and he has, like, 100, and he's on, like, 150 radio stations or something.
Right.
I mean, he's all across... But he is so crazy. He says shit that absolutely makes sense and sounds absolutely accurate about the governor, some fucking thing that's, you know, you're right on. And then in the next instance, he goes off and he's making a video where he's dressed like the Joker from Batman, and he's putting up Joker posters of Obama all over the city and runs up to the police that are parked someplace and gives them a couple posters, and he's talking like Heath Ledger and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And he's crazy. Another maybe again another dude out there just to delegitimize what would have come out anyway if he wasn't around, you know?
Right.
I don't know, man.
Yep.
I'm conflicted.
Like you said,
about
it was coming out anyways to that William Cooper. You know, I've grown kind of like suspicious of him over the years. So I don't know.
Me too.
I've read comments of people calling him. They called him a provocateur and stuff on
government
comments
agent
on his
even
video.
Government
they
agent.
They say, yeah, he's a double agent. He's working for the CIA.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen all that. People, you know, claiming that. And so he gets really pissed off, you know. I know it makes him mad, but I don't know, man. It is kind of suspicious, you know.
It is something you can't. He's hard to figure out, and some things just don't make sense with him. What he knows and how he goes about it, how he goes about some things, you know.
Right.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
That was good timing on that drop there, man.
it's definitely a crazy thing to, you know, try to wrap your head around.
He's no more crazier than, like, Limbaugh, you know? I mean, Limbaugh's just crazy. He just doesn't talk.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't attack the government, like Jones does, you know, he doesn't, you know, but he's just as crazy, especially about like social issues. He's crazier than Alex Jones.
Right.
Poor people, social issues, African-Americans, women. That dude is, he's a fucking hopped up heroin addict, crazy motherfucker, dude.
He's a piece of shit. Really? I mean,
you know,
I can't stand him. You know, I mean, it's just that, and the thing is, just the hypocrisy of him, you know, talking about other people and stuff with the things that he's went through, you know, just, you know, he just so condescending to people, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and people just don't give a fuck. Like when Bush lost, you know, or I guess it would be, who lost to, I guess it was McCain first time around to Obama, and he went on the air the next day and was, I was just a water carrier. For the Republican Party and I was forced to say some of the things I did, you know, to support Bush and you know, he fucking like a rat on a sinking ship, man. He jumped off as soon as the Republicans lost. He jumped off, and then it took him a while to kind of regain, you know, let's go hate on Democrats again and everything that they stand for.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
But he's another one I don't get, man. The fucker stays sequestered in his house. He talks into a gold-plated microphone, and he's in his house almost all the time. I mean, he was almost – they didn't even press charges on him for doing that OxyContin, the fucking hillbilly heroin, the synthetic heroin, which his maid said he was doing like 10 a day, dude. One or two of those will fuck you up all day long, and he was doing 10 a day.
Yeah.
And then he got caught fucking with all kinds of illegal prescriptions of Viagra coming back from the Dominican Republic, which has the highest level of prostitution in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, he was a real piece of work, that's for sure.
Yeah, sure, man. But you know what? People listen to him and believe him like it's the gospel, man.
Right.
They might as well talk to the dude under the bridge down on the interstate, because he's, you know, as informed as fucking Limbaugh is, man. He's just another heroin addict. He's just choosing a different lifestyle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I've never gotten into him. So when he had his big downfall, I was no sweat off my back.
I mean, his last contract was $330 million. I mean, it was a third of $1 billion, you know? He's still fucking making massive money.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And, you know, we know people that listen to him every day. Just like anything else, dude, we talked about, anything you do every single day, day after day, for hours at a time, you're going to get brainwashed. I mean, whether it's watch TV, listen to Rush Limbaugh, go to church 2-3 hours a day, or, you know, church activities, you know, an hour or two every day, and, you know, you're going to get brainwashed if you're doing something that consistently over and over again every day, no matter what it is.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
That's what I do for hours a day. That's funny.
So, I don't know,
yeah,
man.
But
you
I
know,
agree.
It amazes me how much people are in tune with these people that they're just fucking haters, dude. And that's the thing. I mean, Democrats suck too. I'm say it straight out in so many different ways now. They're as much war lovers as Republicans are, and they don't get, you know, they in so many ways. Either the Democrats and the Republicans are so much alike, man. But for the Republicans, it seems like a prerequisite is you got to be a hater of some kind. You got to either hate the Jews or the black people, or the poor people's the fashionable one. If you know, you got to hate poor people if you're a Republican. You know, at least one of the groups, if not all of them.
Non-Christians.
Right, atheists, whatever it is. You got to hate at least one group to be a Republican. It's the party of it. For Democrats, I don't know if it's so much that. It's just they're willing to accept so much about the government now. Anything that rolls around, you know, fuck, it's good if it's coming from the government. It's got to be true.
That's like what we were talking about. You know, most atheists are super liberal Democrats, and that's another thing we were talking about earlier at the beginning of the show was, you know, the atheists are just, you know, they will not question, they'll question everything when it comes to religion or faith, but they will not question anything when it comes to anything else, you know, or any other social issues. They're not skeptical, or they're not inquiring, they don't have an inquiring mind or skepticism about anything else other than religion and faith. So I don't understand how you could turn that switch off in your mind on and off like that. So to me, you know, you really don't have an inquiring mind. You really don't have a total skepticism.
Yep.
If you can't even fathom that a government that slaughtered indigenous people in the 19th century, that poisoned people in the 50s with radiation and civilians, and CIA did experiments with LSD on people and all these prison camps, put Japanese in prison camps, lied to us to get us in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin situation, all that stuff that our government, all the atrocities, all the lies, all the killing of people, and they cannot believe that anything weird about 9/11.
Yep.
That's what it always boils down to.
Or anything else by the government. That's the thing. They actually go to the extent of attacking people that disagree or question the government. You know, right. I've even seen that out of atheists. You know, fucking wake up, man. If there's a massive institution out there that's been lying to people for 2,000 years, certainly there can be more than one, right? We got the church for 2,000. We got, you know, the American government for maybe since it's been around, but certainly in the last, you know, 60, 70 years, it's been doing a lot of bad things to its own people here in our own country.
Right, right.
You know, it's if not an absolute certainty, it certainly is a possibility that shit has happened.
Right.
You know, but it's documented.
Right.
It is a fucking certainty. You know, everything you mentioned is completely documented. You know, in public knowledge nowadays. But yet, anything the government comes out with, man, it's true because they're the ones saying it. Or it's okay they're doing it because it's the government. It's okay that we've got massive police forces with tanks and grenade launchers now because it's the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, man.
Yeah, man.
Got a little early on the trigger there. But, yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, I don't know where this country's going. It just seems, you know, every day it gets crazier and crazier.
Pretty fractured.
More right. And,
it's fractured.
Yeah, they got people are going in so many different directions. Nobody really knows what to believe. And you have, and you know, I always harp on religion because I think it's a big part of it. But, you know, it's a lot of different things feeding into it, causing people to not know what to believe, you know. And the Internet's part of it now. There's so much stuff, information. People don't know what to believe, so it's hard to know what you know. You got your you know, your Rush Limbaughs and your Alex Joneses and all these different, then you got your liberal talk shows. You know, you don't know who to, you know, to believe or listen to.
Yeah.
And some people do. We've kind of,
that's the smart ones, dude. You don't believe any of them.
Right.
Don't believe any of them.
That's right. I say fuck them all.
Fuck them all. Figure it out yourself.
Let Mr. Blisterfish figure it out.
Let Blisterfish sort it out for you.
You guys just all sit back and relax and listen to these shows, these upcoming shows. Go back and listen to our archive shows, and we'll figure it all out for you as we sip on cold brew and talk it all out, man. We'll have some guys calling in here in the future, and we'll have some fun. And, you know, it's a good time, man. I like doing the show.
Yeah, me too, dude.
It gets a lot of shit off my chest, you know. I didn't get as fired up as I thought I'd be. I thought I'd get real mad, blow my stack in the show. But, you know, it's just sometimes you just mellow out and just kind of go with the flow, you know. So that's cool, too.
That's about the shit you need to, man.
Alrighty. Yep.
Yeah, dude, all right.
Well,
I will talk to you soon. Everybody out there, give us a call if you get a chance. Thanks for listening to our show. It's Blister Fish.
Excellent. Blister Fish. Ow.
Adios.